I'm saddened. Today is our last teaching on the parables, and I have truly enjoyed this summer. This summer flew by doing the parables. How many of you gained insights in the parables that we were doing? And they truly helped me and strengthened me in many ways. And I pray that this last one does as well. So if you would, you can open your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're in chapter 16. We're going to be in verses 19 through 31. This is one of the little bit longer parables. I mean, it's not too terribly long, but it is one of the little bit longer parables. And it's one that most of us are familiar with. And it's one that many of us have read, we've talked about, I'm sure we all had Sunday school lessons about. But today we're going to learn some other things about it, I pray, and be strengthened by God's word. So to that avail, as you are there, let us ask God to bless this time. Father God, we just come before you as your people. And Lord, we lift your word, for we are to come under your word, to be strengthened by it, to be guided by it, and to be used in it. So Lord, I pray that you would bless this pastor to speak your word alone. For Lord, there is no other word by which man may be saved. So Lord, we come and we ask that you would bless us, that the hearing of this word would be a blessing, that the teaching of this word would be a blessing, and the receiving of this word would be a blessing, both to us and to those who are watching or listening through the internet or in the streaming. Thank you, Father, for giving us the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the word without end. In his name we pray, amen. From verse 19, we read these words. We're going to read the entire piece, and then we're going to go back and we're going to expound on it a little bit. It says, now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in the splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone raises from the dead. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. As we look at the word that God has given us here and Christ is teaching, there are several things that jump out at us right away. I mean, we can see here that this is a comparison contrast thing going on. We have several players here. We have Father Abraham, and we have a rich man, and we have a poor man. And as we think about it in the earthly condition that we see these people, we understand that this rich person was rich in the world, okay? That is evident by the fact that he went to Hades and not to heaven. So he was rich in the world, and he had a habit of putting on purple and fine linen. In other words, he took pleasure in the fact that he was wealthy. Is there anything wrong with being a wealthy person in our world today? Absolutely not. Please understand that this is not a parable saying that all rich people are going to go to hell and all poor people are going to go to heaven, because there are wonderful rich people who are going to go to heaven and there are miserable poor people who are going to go to hell. We need to understand that. That is not the point of this sermon. That is not the point of this lesson. It is simply teaching us that there are different types of people in our world. And Jesus is using two contrasts. There's also a spiritual condition to these people. Now, one of the things I want us to understand, Jesus here is talking about a Hebrew, because Jesus came to teach Hebrews first and then to the world. So he was dealing with the Hebrew nation. So this gentleman who was wealthy, do you think he went to synagogue? I can almost guarantee you he did. If he was a good Jew and he was wealthy, he would be seen in the temple, because that's a point of stature. You get seen in the right places, okay? We kind of learned about some of that today in discipleship. If you miss discipleship, you need to be coming out to discipleship. You learn all kinds of neat things in discipleship. Because there are people in our world that they want to be on the upper echelon. We learned this in one of our studies. And they'll do everything necessary to do all that stuff, but they really don't care about anything else underneath. All they want is the accolades. And that's, I believe, what this gentleman was. He was an accolade seeker. He was at the right place at the right time always, because he was blessed enough financially to be able to do it. And many of us look at life in the same way. But this other gentleman, he was worldly poor, but he was spiritually wealthy. Because this gentleman knew his position here, and he saw that he was in need, but he also knew God. How do we know that? Because when he died, where did he go? He went to heaven. So this gentleman had a true relationship with the living God. And we need to understand that that's where all of us need to be. Whether we are wealthy or whether we are poor in worldly things, there's one place that we need to be wealthy, and that is in spiritual things. And the only way to be wealthy is to have an eternal bank account, and that is in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So we see here that, again, God is giving us contrast. He's showing us that you can be spiritually poor, you can be spiritually rich, and what you are in the world doesn't matter. Because you can be a poor man and rich, filled with eternal treasure. Or you can be a rich man and totally bankrupt and void of any eternity whatsoever in the glory of God, because you will have an eternity. And that's one of the things that this message truly wishes to point out. That is one of the true teachings of this message that Christ was giving us. So then what really is the reality of this parable? Well, the reality of this parable comes to us from another place in Scripture. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Keep a finger there, because we're going to be coming back. We're going to be teaching from there. But I want you to go to Matthew in the 13th chapter. And we're going to be in the 11th verse. We're going to be in the 11th verse. Matthew in the 13th chapter, beginning in the 11th verse. Again, Jesus is teaching here, and these are the words of the Christ. He says, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but not be understanding. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them.'" Blessed be the word of the Lord. This parable that we're reading here about the rich man and the poor man is truly the teaching of what is being spoken here, that there are going to be many who are going to hear. There are going to be many who are going to see, but they're not going to receive. We had a lot of people yesterday at the parade clapping and oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, we're passing out tracts. And I had several people say to me, oh, I'm a member of a church, or I go to a church. I even had one pastor say to me, oh, we just want to bless you. And he grabbed my hands and he said, Lord, I pray blessing upon this man and the tracts that they're giving out. And may they bring forth your, and I was blown away by that. I just thought that was so cool. But then I also understand that many of those people who said, I go to church or I have a church or da-da-da-da-da, not one of them said, I know Jesus. How many banks are there in our world, Miss Pauline? Too many. Too many. I asked the banker that, okay? Too many. How many churches are there in the world? One real one. The Church of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen? There's a lot of people that go to a lot of churches, but I ask you this, does Jesus go there? Is Jesus welcome there? There's only one church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of fake things out there that call themselves churches and aren't. And we need to understand that there are many people who are going to find themselves seeing but never perceiving, hearing and never understanding. Because Jesus spoke in parables, that the things he was speaking, and he says it right here in the front. He says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. In other words, there are many people who are going to come. And they're going to come in my name. And then they're going to look at me at the end and say, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. And I'm going to say, away from me, you evil one, for I never knew you. Because though they went to church, they did not know God. This parable is talking to a Hebrew. We need to understand. Jesus understood. Everybody who considered themselves a Jew considered themselves God's chosen people. We need to think of that in the context of the church. There are so many people who come to church every Sunday who consider themselves God's people but don't know God because they don't have a relationship. They are spiritually bankrupt. The rich man represents those people because they have been given, we have been given blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And in all that blessing, well, now wait a minute, Pastor. You know, what about the homeless people? What about the? Well, let me tell you this. Those people who are less off than we are the poor in this world. I'm talking to a congregation right now, and there is no one here that is poor. There is no one in this room that is poor. We are the rich. So we got to watch where we find ourselves. We are the rich, so we got to watch where we find ourselves. But there are poor. There are those who live out there on the streets. There are those who have nothing. Daily, they're looking for food. Daily, they're looking for sustenance and for life itself, because without it, they will perish in this world. But for some of them, they know the Lord because they call upon his name daily for the provision that they need. How many of us call upon the Lord daily for the provision that we have? That rich man here in the Bible that we were just reading about, flip back in your Bibles to the book of Luke, that rich man here, it says, now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in the splendor every day. Now that joyous splendor goes if we read it the way we need to read it, it's talking about the fact that not only did he dress well, but he ate well, he lived well, he had no want for anything, everything was given to him. He had a gated house, because how do we know that? Because it says Lazarus sat at the gate of his house, longing to eat the crumbs that fell from his table. So how well did this guy eat? Evidently, he was a sloppy eater. When you're wealthy, you don't have to worry about what falls on the floor, right? But the poor man sat there and longed to eat those things, and the dogs even came and licked his sores. When we think about that position, how many of us are in that position How many of us are in that place of understanding that we are in need ourselves, that we are in a need that is far greater than anything this world can provide? The need that we have is the need of Jesus Christ, the need of salvation, the need of hope, the need of compassion, the need of mercy, the need of grace. And that only comes from one place. That only comes from the love and life of Jesus Christ that he gives to each and every one of us. So when we look at this rich man and when we look at this poor man, there is a great spiritual message being given here. For you see, Lazarus knew God and was given even more. It says here in Matthew where we just were that he who has shall be given more, right? Well, Lazarus didn't have a whole lot here on this earth, did he? Worldly things he had not. But he had spiritual things. He knew the Lord. And he came into a place of rest and comfort and peace and joy and understanding and eternal bliss. I want you to think about that. What he had, he was given even more. Because here on earth, he had none of that. He had nothing but misery and suffering and turmoil. But his hope was in what was to come. And when he finally got into heaven, did God disappoint him? Absolutely not. God increased it. God increased it. And he was resting in Abraham's bosom. The rich man, on the other hand, where was he? Again, back at the book of Matthew, even what he had shall be taken. He had all the comforts. He had no want. He had no desire for anything, including God. So when he went to hell, what did he get? Exactly what he wanted, because he had no desire for God. And in that no desire for God, God absent is the absence of all comfort, all mercy, all grace, all provision, everything, always. And it's eternal. So he got what he was looking for. Because he put all his stock in the things of this world. How soon do the things of this world pass away, brothers and sisters? Soon and very soon. Because this world shall perish. It's all going to burn, okay? Brother Bobby and I talk about this all the time. Even the elements shall perish, it says. And then he makes all things new again. And that newness, is that for everybody? No, that's for us. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who have that relationship. How many of you are receiving all the benefits of heaven right now? Sometimes it gets pretty tough to see them, doesn't it? Sometimes just the things that come at us, we feel like the dogs are licking at the sores, don't we? But we need to remember our hope is in the Lord who gave his life for me. And paid the price of all my debt on Calvary. I could sing that song right now, Miss Sally. My hope is in the Lord who gave his life for me. Oh, my goodness. LBC. That's our motto. But when you and I understand where these men were, what was going on? How was this being done? Jesus here took everything that the rich man had, okay? No, not Jesus. His decision took it. We need to understand, God doesn't take anything. God gives. God gives us what we've asked for. God gives us according to what we have done. We learned that today in discipleship. You need to come out to discipleship. We learned that because Jesus said, when he comes with his angels in glory, he will bring to everyone the recompense for their deeds on this earth. Ooh, whether good or bad, you get what you have asked for. If you have asked for an absence of God, guess what you get? Complete and total absence from God forever. How do I know that? We're going to learn that in just a second. Or you get the complete and total inclusion of God forever. And he doesn't hold anything back, brothers and sisters. Now, I want you to understand, right now, in this story, it is being held back. Why? What's going on here? Does anybody know? Does anybody have any idea? This is Abraham's bosom. Where is this? What's going on here? This is pre-heaven. This is pre-heaven. Okay? Jesus has not gone in and shed his blood in the heavenly temple, so nobody can go in because it's not been sanctified yet. It's just like the heavenly or the earthly temple that was built here. No one could go into it until it was sanctified. It had to be sanctified, and it took weeks to sanctify the temple. Do you all realize that? It took centuries. It took millennia to sanctify the heavenly temple. It took an eternity past to sanctify the heavenly temple because the Son of God had to die, and he had to go into heaven, into the Holy of Holies, and spread his blood. The everlasting blood of the Lamb of the sacrifice of God had to be sprinkled on the horns of the altar in heaven. And when he went in, then he took everybody out of Abraham's bosom and took them up into heaven. Guess what's still down there? Hell and all its participants. And that's it. Abraham's bosom is now empty. So when we look at this, this was a different time. And in this time and place, it's kind of amazing because something actually began to happen to this rich man. Something began to happen to this rich man. I think it's funny because while he was here on earth, he had no need for prayer. He had no need to look up towards heaven. He had no need of any of those things because he had everything he needed right here on earth. He was self-sufficient. How many of us have ever fallen into that trap? I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. God will show you otherwise. And some of you who are laughing at me and shaking your heads know exactly what I mean. Can I get an amen? Amen. No man is an island in and of himself. But it's so amazing because all of a sudden we begin to realize something was going on here. This man, this rich man, what does it say? He looketh up. What? What? He looked towards heaven for the first time because all of a sudden he realized he didn't have it. He looked up. And when he looked up, what did he see? Did he see God in heaven? No. He saw Abraham. So who does he start praying to? Abraham. Who are we supposed to pray to? This is how devoid this man was. This is how much he didn't know that he didn't go beyond to the Father, the only one who can do anything, to the Christ who is all things. He went to Abraham. Oh, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to put water on my tongue because these flames are hot and I'm thirsty. And Abraham says, what? Well, what's wrong with you, dude? We can't get there. There are no roads across this sucker. There's a big chasm here. We can't get from here to there. It's impossible. What you're asking is, I'm just a man. What are you talking to me for? That's what it implies. Okay? I want you to think about something. How many people in our world are praying to people and not God? There's a whole religion out there praying to people and not God. Do you think those prayers are getting heard? This is answering the Catholic Church. Pray to Mary. Pray to Joseph. Bartholomew. How many saints are there now? They're dead people. They can't help you. There's only one who's alive, who was dead, but now is alive, who can help you, and his name is Jesus Christ. So here this guy is. He's looking to heaven. He's looking up. He sees heaven, and he doesn't go any further. His thought doesn't go to God. His heart doesn't go to God. His thought and heart goes to that place. And how many people don't put their trust in the Lord, but they put their trust in a place called the church? It ain't getting you nowhere. Don't put your trust in Pastor Rich. Don't put your trust in Brother Bobby or one of the other elders. Our trust is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And that's where it has to stay. Because without him, there is no hope. There is no heaven. Remember, heaven is now truly heaven. It's in heaven because Jesus took it there. Jesus set it up. And I'll tell you right now, the people in hell, I think this is funny because at one point in time, they could literally see the people in Abraham's bosom. It wasn't heaven. He looked up and thought he was looking in heaven because he saw people up there who were better off than he was. He was looking up there and saw people in comfort, saw people in paradise. And he thought, well, that must be heaven. That wasn't heaven. That was a holding place until heaven got open. What do you think heaven really looks like? The presence of God is there. What do you think heaven looks like? I'm telling you, I can't wait till I get there. Because, man, what a glorious day that will be. My wildest dreams could not imagine what heaven really looks like. You know, talk about living color. How many of you remember when we were little, the peacock that used to come up on TV? You know, in living color. And now we have color TVs. It's like, wow. Remember we used to have those little thingies, you slide the blue, the green, and the red, and you try and get it a semblance of, you know, well, they're just about pink enough, you know what I mean, the people. Today, oh my goodness, it's like you're looking right at a live person. Wait till we get to heaven. You are going to be looking at live people, live in a way you've never seen them before. Live in eternity, in the glory of God, in the presence of God. Oh, I cannot wait to be there. But I will because I got work to do. So let me get back to the work. As we look into this and we think about what was taken from this rich man, everything was taken from him. All his worldly wealth was taken from him. All his possessions, all his comfort, all his assurances, everything gone. Gone. The poor man who had no assurances in life, in this world, he had no comfort in this world, had no pleasure in this world, but he put his trust in the Lord. Where was he? In the lap of luxury, in the lap of glory. He was being comforted. And just think how he felt. You know, it says that when he looketh up, he saw Abraham, or he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of comfort, of welcome, of love, of concern, of compassion. You know, that's a picture of Christ holding us. How many of you have seen the picture, you know, of Jesus hanging on to a person who's on their knees? Did you ever see that picture? Oh, my heavens, that just warms the cockles of my heart. When I see that, because that's me. That's me. I know I don't deserve him, but the Lord says, I love you. I poured out my life for you. And I say, Lord, I don't deserve it. And he scoops me up. Oh, this is the discipleship. You missed it. You should have been in discipleship. And it says, and Jesus touched them and said, get up. From our lowly position, he says, get up. Man, what a word. I'd like to preach on that for a year. Get up. Oh, my Lord. Do you think if God says get up, something's not going to happen? Whew. But here's Abraham receiving the comfort of God, the love of God, as much as could be given until heaven was open. How much more do you think that man Lazarus received when he got to heaven and was in the presence of the glory of God? Boy, they thought they had it good in Abraham's bosom. I'll guarantee you it's good now. But here's what I wanted to get out on that. Here's this man, and he's looking across, and he's seeing. What's he seeing now? He could see the comfort. He could see what he was longing for. What's he got now? Absolutely nothing, because it's empty. So when he looks across, what's he see? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing to look at. Just an eternal pit and being completely alone. The rich man was tormented and thirsty. He desired a relationship. He called out to Abraham, wrong person. He desired to be comforted. What happened? Absolutely nothing, because there was no way he could be reached. He desired to help his family. What was wrong? It was too late. Because once your fate is sealed, it is done. He found the one thing that on earth he did not have. The one thing that he thought he could avoid forever, he found was truly his. And what was it? Hopelessness. When we are rich in the world, we have all our hope based here. There's nothing we can't do. There's nothing we can't perceive. There's nothing that is held from us. Things are good and it's going great because our hope is in the world. And the world offers us everything it has to keep us blind of the things of God. But when we find ourselves in that eternal place, we find truly that you have found the one thing that you thought you could avoid forever, and that is hopelessness. Because there is no hope for those who go to hell. This parable is truly a teaching about spiritual condition. This parable is truly a teaching about how we need to make sure that we are in the right place, in the right set of mind, that we have the right eternity when that time comes. It so amazes me that God says from the book of Matthew, as we read it, that he who has will be given even more. Right now, I have a hope in Jesus Christ. How much of that am I receiving right now? My hope is answered every time I pray when things are going bad and God just gives me that little bit of deliverance, that little bit of deliverance to keep me going another day. How many of you find that every day? He gives you just enough to get through the day until tomorrow, and then he meets that need and that need and that need and that need. Well, guess what's going to happen when we reach eternity? There is no more day. We get it all at one time, and it lasts forever. Guess what happens when you die outside of Christ? All the things that you have here, and you've stored up all this stuff, and you know you've got this stuff coming in, and you know, oh man, I got everything taken care of, gone in the blink of an eye, and you've got nothing for eternity. Absolutely nothing. Because you hope in the world, it's all you got. You hope in God, and the eternal world is ours. So today I want you to think about where you are. Are you just coming to church because it's a good thing to do? Or are you just coming to church because, well, my parents make me come? Or are you coming to church because you realize you need to have a relationship, a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's the only true answer. You can sit here and you can tell me whatever you want to tell me, and I'll guarantee you God will listen to you. But God knows the heart above all things. Amen? Amen. And until you're willing to give this one thing to God, he has nothing to do with you. He'll give you all the grace. He'll give you all the blessing of the world because he pours that out on all mankind. He maketh the rain to shine on the good and the unjust. Amen? I think I just said he maketh the rain to shine. Did I just say that? I think he maketh the rain to come down on the... Yeah, you knew what I meant, but that's not what I said. Wow, he maketh the rain to shine. Let's all see that one, huh? The sun to shine and the rain to fall on the good and the unjust. So we all receive that common grace, that we may know him, that every man is without excuse. But there's a special grace. And that special grace is the revelation of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And I pray that today you will receive that special revelation. I pray that today you will begin making those inroads, that Christ can truly transform you to the image of himself. Because without him, there is no hope for tomorrow whatsoever. Would you pray with me? Father God, your word tells us that to those who have, even more shall be given. And Lord, if we have Jesus Christ, if we have that semblance of peace and hope in our lives, you're going to give us not only more hope, but you're going to fulfill it. You're going to fill it so much that, Lord, we can't contain it all. But Lord, your word also says to those who had, even what they had will be taken. That speaks of those who had in this world and didn't have you. So, Lord, I pray that we would truly evaluate ourselves and determine where we stand. that you would help us to grapple with these things and know that you are the only way. Because I can't do it. Nobody else can do it. You're the only one who can. You have done it. You have made it done, a completed work. You spoke it from the cross of Calvary. It is finished. So, Lord, we just ask that you would wash over each of us, that we would choose this day whom we shall serve and truly serve you with all that we are, that we would count the cost of being a disciple and realize that we need to put aside the things of this world and put on the fullness of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be thy blessed kindness in this world and to receive from you the blessing of eternity now and forevermore. In your holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.